Good morning. Come on, say it like you mean it. Are you with me? Say good morning.
Good morning.
Now we're talking. Man, I'm excited to be here. I hope you are too. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, man, I'm so glad you're here. Say it like you mean it. Turn to the neighbor on the other side and say, not so sure about you. We're talking about thriving together. We're going through the book of 1 Timothy, and we land in the fifth chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we're talking about thriving together. We got this beautiful little heart here, if you can see it right on the edge here. This beautiful little heart. I've been sitting there for a while, you know, for the last several Sundays, trying to figure out how in the world they ever did that thing with the little heart. Because, I mean, I just don't think of family like that nice and neat. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, family to me, church family thriving together, it's more like this picture. It's more like striving together. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know what it's like for you. I have three teenagers. We get to go to church, and getting to go to church is crazy. I remember when I went as a little kid going to church, you know, my mom would be like, all right, it's time to get ready to go to church. Time to go. Time to get ready. And then the time would just be disappearing, and the voice would intensify. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, my mom would be like, you better get in the car. You know, like it was like one of these like surreal voices. And we'd show up to church all discombobulated. And we thought, of course, that we looked like this. You know, like this picture right here when we show up to church. This is the way we thought we looked, because we'd walk in and be like, bless you, sister. How are you doing today? Because this is the day that the Lord hath made. And he hath made me glad. This is how we thought we viewed ourselves, but this is how they actually saw us. You know, they... And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing. No, this is the way we look when we go to church, just like this. All matchy, all tidy, nice and neat. Yes, you might match, but you actually, this is the way you look right here. This is what you look like. Because family is messy. And guess what? The church is just like family. This is la familia. You know, so many, I've been in church my whole life, and you know, they're like, you know, I've talked to people like, I won't go to church. Bad things happen in church. They treat me terrible. Let's talk about your family a little bit. I mean, like, the reality is, of course it is. The reason sometimes church is messy and it's crazy is because family is messy and it's crazy. And you know why? Because you're a part of it. That's why. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's talking to you right now. Right? You're a part of the mess. That's who you are, part of the mess. The only thing that identifies a family in terms of the mess of family is when we start talking about long road, like long distance journeys. Have you ever been on a long road trip with a family? We're talking mess at that point, you know. In New England, it's even worse, because in New England, they're like, man, you better pack the flares, change the oil, rotate the tires, and bring a bag of oranges. Why? Because we're going to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. You know, I don't know what it is about New Englanders that, like, if you travel more than 60 miles, it's like the end of the world. You're like, Nate, why a bag of oranges? Because you might get scurvy on the way from here to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's like we're reliving the Mayflower experience every time we're trying to go 60 miles away. That's not the kind of road trip I'm talking about. I'm talking about one of those road trips that is super long. The one where you get out in the car and you're getting out and you're just like, and you when you get out of the car, you're like, oh, it's and the tensions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like the tensions in the family. Can I? Do you know what I'm talking about now? Yeah? Yeah. You know, listen, let me tell you a story about family in a long road trip. And so first you have to understand a little bit about my family. And this is my dad and mom. Like my dad, my mom. There's four children. I'm the oldest of four. But there's actually a break in the family of about 10 years. So the oldest, which is me, to the youngest is 12 years. All right? So at one point, my family said, hey, we're going to go on a trip. That's my two youngest siblings and my parents. We're going to go on a long road trip. Well, my wife, newly married, my wife and I said, well, we'll go with you. We'd like to go with you. And it turned out to be a long trip. A really long trip. Do you know what I'm saying? You know it's a long trip when you pull up to the gasoline station and somebody says, all right, this is what it's going to happen. We got 11 and a half minutes, okay? You got to go to the bathroom. You get the gas. You get the soda, you get all these little things, and everybody gets out of the van and you scatter like the SWAT team trying to make sure you're back. Because in my case, my mom was like, tick tock, let's rock. You know, like, it was that kind of tension. You know what I'm saying? And so we get in the car, and I can't remember what all happened except I think my sister and my wife, she went to the bathroom. My mom's there, my dad's pumping gas, and my younger brother and I were playing soccer. And so we're playing soccer, trying to stretch a little bit. And the minute the family comes out of gasoline station doors, my mom's like, all right, it's time to go. And it always starts kind of jovial. You know what I'm saying? All right, it's time to go. Everybody get in the car. Kind of like a stewardess, right? So I know how this works because I've been around the family long enough at this point. So I go get in the car, and it's actually a minivan with one of those big sliding doors. You know what I'm saying? So I get in the back with my wife. My dad gets in the front. My mom gets in the front. And my sister, she gets in the middle, right in the sliding door in the middle of the thing. And my brother is still out there. And I'm like, this guy is going to perish. I mean, he doesn't understand what he's playing with here. Like, it's, you know. And so all of a sudden, my mom's voice changes from, hey, it's time to get in the car, to Joshua Stephen Parks. You know, like this demonic voice comes out. And she said the three names in a row, which is basically, we just went from DEFCON 2 to DEFCON 1. The next thing is the big red button called atomic warfare. And I'm like, this is going to be interesting because my brother's still out there with a soccer ball. And my brother, who's about 16 years old, he's thinking to himself, well, option one, I mean, I don't know. Option one, I pick up the soccer ball and I go get in the van. And that would be what everybody else would do because that's what, but I'm not everybody else. Option two, as I look at the van, I realize there's like an opening. And I have a soccer ball. And how cool would it be if I score and do a walk-off score as I walk in the van? And so you see, I'm watching all this. I'm going, this is going to be it, right? This is going to be the end of my brother right here. So anyways, he does this little chip shot, and the ball goes. And have you ever been in those stories where it's like all of a sudden everything just slows down? It's like, and this ball goes floating through the air. My sister, who's in the car at this moment, goes like this, turns and starts looking this way, and the ball's coming like this. And it hits her square in the face, square in the nose, so much so that the nose actually makes a sound, right? Like, it does that, you know, like that kind of sound when it gets hit. Boom! And it just is so painful, as you know. My sister, what? I mean, she just loses it. And my sister's name is Sarah, which means princess. And let me just tell you, she's the only girl with three boys, so that's all I want to say. But basically, sister goes nuts. My mom, all of a sudden, the door opens and Godzilla comes out of the door. And it just gets crazy. It just gets nuts. And all of a sudden, boom, my mom, get in the car. Joshua, get in the car. So now we're all in the car. How comfortable is that? I mean, you could take a steak knife and just cut the tension. Does that make sense? Just cut the tension in the vehicle. And so my mom, she's all incensed. Everything is completely quiet. Nobody wants to say anything because anything could trigger the atomic warfare, right? So my mom grabs a soda that's in the car, grabs a soda. And she goes and she cracks it halfway. And for some reason, I believe God ordained, the soda had been shaken really hard. And so when she opens it just enough so that it starts spraying like you're watering grass. And it just starts going everywhere. And my mom doesn't know what to do with the thing. She just doesn't want it. So she just throws it in the van. And it starts going everywhere, everywhere. And the tension in the vehicle, all of a sudden, boom, it just breaks. And everybody laughs as my mom says, well, that was a good idea, you know. How many of you have been in this location before? Just to make sure, this is the church of God here, and there's not enough hands going up, which means there might be some liars in the audience. This is the mess of what it is to be with a wild family, right? It's a mess. Church, is not unlike that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, which is where we're going to turn to today, is a chapter that actually, in the Bible, those who interpreted the scripture, actually, they put in there, this is the rules for the church. This is how the church is to operate, okay? So that is literally what this is all about, okay? So let's turn there for a second, and let me just read to you the first couple verses of chapter 5. I want you to notice we're going to read them very slowly so we can look at what's going on here. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Say father. A younger man as brothers. Say brother. Older women as mothers. And younger women as sisters. In all purity. Okay, so you can see he's already separating out the four groups of people that are found in a family as well as also in the family of God, the church right here. That's us. That's us, the family, right? So I kind of want to separate it out and go older men. Well, what is older men? What does it mean? Well, I'm 49, so clearly, 49 this year, so clearly older men is 50, right? So that's, I'm part of the younger group. And I can tell you honestly, as I take my glasses off right now, I don't see any older women in this building at all, right? Can I get an amen for that? Right? So we can separate out these groups, but notice that there's the four groups. Let me show you this verse in just a different version, the New Living Translation, just to give you kind of a sense of what it looks like. It says, same verses, just different wording, okay? Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would your own. Talk to younger men as you would your own. Treat older women as you would your. And treat younger women with all purity as you would your own. So you can see that actually there is, once again, the framework. And so what happens is this is not the only time that actually Paul is telling one of his mentees to give structure to the church, because there is structure in the church. This is not the last time. This is not the only time he does it. In fact, if you go to the book of Titus, which is actually another one of his mentees, we're talking about Timothy right now, he also in the book of Titus does very similar language to his mentee in terms of organizing the church. Now, Titus was going to the island of Crete. Have ever any of you heard sort of this phrase, hey, stop being a Cretan? Right. That being a Cretan is not a compliment. Being a Cretan is a person who is living unhinged, completely out of any social norms. They are running off the radar, okay? And so here he's telling Titus the same thing. When you go to set up a church, there needs to be some order to what you're doing. Let's just read Timothy real quick here. Let me show you how it reads here. So this is Titus, chapter 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine, okay? And it says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in steadfastness. Notice there's a lot more specifics going to this portion right now. So he's saying, older men, here's the list. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Okay, and so what happens is that he is addressing specific things that the Cretans, in this case, the Cretans are dealing with. Some specific things, all right? And briefly, you can see right here in the next verses, he says, so train young women to love their husbands and children. And then, of course, in the bottom, young men to be self-controlled. There are rules in the family. There are rules in the family. My family had rules. We had to organize ourselves around rules. So I told you that we had myself and then another brother and then a younger brother and a younger sister. Well, my brother and I, you can imagine how crazy it was, right? It's the simplest things would end up in just complete chaos. For example, if let's just say we had a cookie, right? A cookie. Only one cookie, but two brothers, right? Or one Snicker bar and two brothers. How do you figure that out? Well, initially, my mom would just throw it in the floor and say, fight for it, right? You know, like rabid dogs. I mean, that's what would happen. No, my mom's like, at first, she's like, hey, let's cut it in half. Cut it in half. So my mom would cut it in half. And then I'd be like, hey, he got the bigger piece. Hey, there's more chocolate chips in that piece. Hey, you know, they give that this, right? Does anybody understand this conversation? Right. So eventually, the rule kind of evolved, and eventually, it was like this. Okay, here's what's going to happen. One person's going to cut it, and the other person is going to get to choose first, right? Does everybody understand this? Who has this rule in their house? Look at all these hands. It literally should have been in the Bible. Should it not have? Because I'm telling you, this rule is like the rule. And so, of course, me being who I am, if this was like the Snicker bar, I'd be like, okay, I will cut. Let me cut this part of the Snicker bar right here. And I would cut it, and my brother would literally eat the bigger piece that I had put my germs on just to spite me. Because that's the way family works, right? Is this recognizable? Yes. This is how the family, the church family, is the same deal. At times, it gets a little crazy. And so Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, is walking through some regulation. Now, I'm not going to go through all of 1 Timothy chapter 5, but let me just highlight three groups of people that he's talking about in that passage to give you sort of a context. The first group of people that he's talking about is elders. We have elders in this church. These are people who we put in charge and are overseers and people who help organize what's going on, and there's a structure of authority and accountability. Then there's pastors. Then there's staff, and there's all these different groups of people, right? The next group of people that it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 5 is widows. Surprisingly, widows, back in those days, it was a big issue. And actually, you may think, well, widows, somebody who doesn't have a husband. Well, if you read the passage, you find out that actually, yeah, well, there's widows who are older and widows who are younger, and it breaks down all the little pieces in terms of who and how you deal with widows and how you categorize them, how you help them, and there's all these little pieces, right? The third group is actually slaves, right? Now, we have elders in this church. We have widows and widowers in this church. We don't have slaves, but back then they had slaves, and so there was a whole structure in terms of how do you deal with somebody who's really a part of the family, but you have one person who is the owner of the other person. You can see how it could get complicated. Not unlike today. Not the fact that we have slaves, but the reality is that our family dynamic is very different. So they were brought together, and in this chapter, Paul is saying to Timothy, here is how you organize the church. And if you take several books in the New Testament, you will actually see that he organizes it. Now, he organizes it because there's a purpose why we're together. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you find out exactly kind of how that works. I don't have time to go through this whole chapter, but let me just read a couple verses. Let's start with verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." In other words, he's using the metaphor of the body is one body, but there's many different pieces to it. There's one body, the family, but there's many different pieces to it. Sort of like we're called on purpose, just like this picture right here. We're called to do something together on purpose, right? You ever wonder why it's always men that you see in these pictures? That's why women live longer, frankly. I mean, that's what it is. But basically, we are come together together for a purpose. And so each one of us in here brings something to the family. Some of you bring great vision like this. Like at some point, that was a good idea to somebody. I just affectionately reference this as the Rushmore family, as in Mount Rushmore. It's the Rushmore family. Some of you have great skills and abilities that you bring to the table that really are going to help the church do great things. Some of you have unique passions. You love animals and passions and things that come into your family. And some of you are very creative at solving problems as it comes to taking care of the church, right? And then there's some of you who, frankly, you just provide a good smile. That's what you do, right? So there's all these pieces, but notice the second verse. Second verse in 1 Corinthians 12 says this. It says this. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Like, there's actually a design to this. This is not just let's put a bunch of people inside here and make a social club out of it. This is not just let's just bring a bunch of people together in one space and we'll just hang out like a barbecue or some kind of social club. No, there's actually a purpose. There's a missional purpose, something that we're going to, something that we're trying to do here. There's choreographing that we're moving towards something. There really is a purpose. Now, unfortunately, most of us in this day and age, we kind of view, you know, the church kind of like a cruise ship, right? Are the programs good? Are they fun? Is the guy who's up there, is he funny but not too funny? Is he open the Word of God but not too much? Is he, like, we sort of gauge the church on what we get out of it. Well, that's not how family works. Family works by contributing to the system, to the structure, to actually do something. So it's not really a cruise ship. It's more like a mercy ship. Have you ever heard of these mercy ships? They're big ships that have been outfitted with doctors and dentists and nurses and all these medical practitioners who go to these places such as Indonesia or Africa, and they land in these coastal ports, and people come to get medical treatment. Like, they're actually trying to reach out and do something. As a family, we are actually trying to reach out and make an impact. As a community, we're inviting people into our family. You've heard of Doctors Without Borders, right? This is Family Without Borders. Like, every person who's here is a part of the family. Yes, he broke it down in older men, older women, younger men, younger women. But more specifically, we have grandparents, parents, children, cousins, aunts, uncles. But it even goes deeper. It's like widows, children who are adopted, foster care. There's a lot of different people who come into this system and start playing into it. And here's the good news. The good news is that everybody can find a place in the family of God. The good news is every single one of us can come together. God brings us together for a purpose. Everybody can find a place. And the way we thrive together is as we come together and do things together, we thrive together. So you say, man, my faith and my walk and my journey is kind of flat right now. Let me tell you how to liven it up. Go teach a class with the fifth graders. Your faith will intensify. You know why? Because you're going to be preparing a lesson and going in there, and you are severely outnumbered. And the only reason you survive is because the kids haven't realized it yet. But as you prepare and you mentally prepare, God put me in this space, God, as you go and prepare to serve in the family, you begin to thrive, and the family thrives, because guess what? It takes a village to raise a child. So guess what? You're here. You're older. Great. We need older people in this congregation to come alongside younger couples to walk with them, to come alongside the younger children and speak into their life. You have a family. Maybe you have a family. You're right in the middle of it with me, like three teenagers or maybe younger family. Guess what? There's a lot of people in this family who don't have family. Thanksgiving is a great opportunity to invite them into the table. Christmas, Easter, New Year's. You know what? You don't even need a holiday. You can do it any day of the week. And for somebody who eats by themselves, do you know what kind of privilege it is to be invited into a family, to just sit there? And you sit there as a family, and you have a conversation. At the end, you just end reading a simple devotional for 3 minutes. Do you know the impact you can have with something like that? It's huge. It's absolutely huge. Each person, it doesn't matter who you are, what your space is, what demographic you are in terms of socioeconomical age, if you invest and come together in a family, we start thriving together. And the good news is this: everybody can find a place in the family. I want to end with a story if I can. This story is a true story, and it's a story that does not happen in this church. It happens in a different church. But I chose the story because I just felt like this conveyed this idea of, you know, family without borders. There's this little girl, really little girl, who is playing out in her front yard. And this neighbor across the street notices this girl. And day after day, this child's out there, and a couple things become very apparent to this woman. It becomes very apparent that this child is wearing the same clothing frequently, and that the clothing is tattered and it's dirty. And so over the course of time, this lady sort of comes out there, and how you doing? There's these little conversations, just these little conversations. At one point, she's walking out there, and she has a muffin in her hand. And as she's about ready to eat this muffin, because it's hers, she has a cup of coffee or whatever, she has a muffin, that's the key thing. She can see that this little girl, there's an attention to this muffin. And so the woman perceives this and says, "Hey, are you hungry?" She says, "Yes." She says, "Well, do you want the top of my muffin?" She says, "Yes, I'd love the top of your muffin." So she takes the top of the muffin off and gives it to this young little girl. And this girl just devours this top of the muffin. Over the course of time, she begins to understand the family dynamic. And so let me just explain a little bit the family dynamic. She begins to understand that there's only one other sibling in there. The sibling is significantly older than this child by over a decade, like really much older. And the mom is not always there, and the father is not always there, because the father actually is a trucker. He's a truck driver. And unfortunately, this gentleman, not only is he a truck driver, but frankly, he's given to drink. And he is an alcoholic. And unfortunately, because of the dynamics of what's happening there, this father comes home inebriated at times, and as you can imagine, there's violence in the home. And unfortunately, mom and the older sister get the brunt of it. But this young little girl does not, because this young little girl is actually the favorite of the father, which plays out nice in that circumstance, but you can sort of imagine that when dad is not around, the tables are turned. I'm being cryptic, but you can sort of understand the situation here. It's very difficult. And there's this girl who's there, and this woman who's has this little muffin top ministry with her. That's all it is. And so she's like, on Sunday morning, this woman who actually is a believer and a churchgoer, she sees her on the lawn. She's like, "Man, I wish I could just bring her to church." So long story short, she actually makes connection with the family and gets permission to take this little girl to church, because the mom's like, whatever. So she ends up bringing her over every day, buys her a new dress, buys her a pair of shoes, feeds her breakfast in the morning, gets her ready, goes to church. And so in a sense, this woman becomes a little bit of a mother. Can you understand the story? She goes into church. This little girl continues to go to church. She ultimately comes to know the Lord. And in the church, she finds the family that she didn't really have. Yes, she had a mom, she had a dad, she had a sister, but it wasn't as you and I would understand or really want in terms of a family. She gets excited about God and what's going on in her life, and she grows, and she finds older men in the congregation and older women and sisters in the congregation and ultimately brothers in the congregation in a family that she never had. She's so excited about this family, she ends up going to Bible school, because you know what she wants to do? She wants to be a missionary. She wants to go to a foreign field to somehow share this message of the family with people who don't have family. And God would have it that she goes to Bible school and meets this guy who actually is going to become a preacher. And they get married. And they end up over in the mission field, which is an amazing thing. And I can tell you, because I know this family, they are still to this day on the mission field and they're church planting. And she is expanding the family of Christ, church, a family without borders, every day. And the reason I'm so familiar with this story is because that little girl is my mother. That little girl's my mother. And frankly, one of the reasons I'm here today is because of that muffin top ministry that happened from that one person who said, hey, I can be family. And from all these people who I don't know from this church somewhere out in Arizona, California area that loved on my mom and little by little just walked through life one step. And you know what happens? That's how we thrive together. Because as we bring people into this and we get involved and get into this space, our faith begins to thrive. And as our faith begins to thrive, our journey and our walk together begins to thrive. And as our journey and our faith and our walk begins to thrive, our church begins to thrive. And as our church begins to thrive, our community begins to thrive. Because it's all connected. And it starts right here with us as a family. Coming together. Investing. It's awkward because we come in here and we go, well, I don't know that person. Well, they're part of the family. And I would say this, as I finish, I would say this to you. If you're here for the first time, we love to have you in the family. If you want to be a part of this family, we embrace you. We don't care where you come from. We don't care where you are, married, unmarried, single, whatever. We love you. Come into the family. If you are here and you don't know, this is the first time and you're just like, this conversation about family and God is like a complete foreign conversation, I would love to introduce you to my Heavenly Father and help you understand what it really is to be family. If you're here today and you are part of the family, you know the Lord, you come here. Listen, it's time to do the chores. Every family's got chores. This isn't about coming and showing up and sitting down and being here and just warming up a pew. This is about thriving together. And as we invest together, our faith will thrive, our church will thrive, and our community to thrive as we seek each other. Are you with me? Well, I tell you what, thanks for listening. Go in peace.